Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It is good to see you this morning. So glad that you chose to worship with us here at Calvary Gospel. To those joining online, welcome as well. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we want to connect with you, get to know you. If you're here in person, you can head to our Welcome Center, and we've just gathered a few points of information. We've got a small gift for you, just a way of saying thanks for coming out. And if you're worshiping online on your screen right now, you can head to that bit.ly link. And again, just a few points of information. Amen. If you'd like to come and sit down on the altar, you may at this time. Amen. During announcements, it's good to see you, ladies. Amen. And we love to give here at Calvary Gospel and bless the kingdom of God, to further the kingdom of God. And there's many ways you can give, online, in person, by mail. You can go on, download the Church Center app, look for Calvary Gospel, and give right through the app. So many different ways. But we just want to encourage you to worship the Lord with your giving. You will not regret it. Amen. And we will see the kingdom of God here in Dane County furthered. Amen. Just a few announcements. This coming week, July 8th through 10th, Monday, starting tomorrow through Wednesday, we're calling a three-day prayer and fasting. The emphasis is on faith. What we want to do, this is the time to download the Church Center app and get connected. We are going to be sending out some prayer focus points through the app over the next 3 days. So be looking for that. Get active on the app. And so you can join your brothers and sisters in prayer and fasting. And this week on Friday, July 12th at 7 p.m., is our monthly all-church prayer meeting. We gather together and we pray together, and we want to just make this week just a culmination of prayer and fasting coming out of family camp. How many of you went to family camp this last week? Many of you did. It was good to see the Tidwells there. Amen. And so many of you. And so we want to continue that, all the preaching and teaching that we gathered, and continue on that with our 3 days prayers and fasting, Friday our prayer meeting. And we're just going to culminate this next Sunday, July 14th, with a special guest speaker in our 11 a.m. service, and that is Morton Bustard. He's been with us many times for many years, and he ministers greatly. Invite someone this week. Find someone. Be sensitive. We talked about how Jesus is the light of the world, and it helps us see others and have compassion on them. And we want to be sensitive to the Spirit this week to invite someone. Think of someone, a family member, a neighbor, coworker, friend, random person you stop by. Just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and invite someone this next Sunday for Brother Morton Bustard. They will be blessed. Amen. We all will be blessed. Amen. If you would stand with me, we want to go before the Lord in prayer. Pastor Roy sends his greetings. He's still recovering from his ankle surgery. It's been, I think, we're on day like, 7, 10, 11 days, something like that. And so he's definitely off his feet for 2 weeks, and then another 2 weeks of slow going. So it might be a little bit before we see him, but he sends, I'm sure, his greetings. And just continue to pray for him and for the many needs. If you have a situation, a physical need, any need in your life that you want to indicate by a lifted hand, let's just look around to those hands, and we're going to believe together for healing, for deliverance, for an answer. Amen, amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your love. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, God, that we can gather together as a body, Lord, of believers, Lord Jesus, to worship you, to praise you, to magnify you, to, Lord God, gain, Lord, your word, hear your word, to grow in you, Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, though there are needs, God, in the house represented here. You saw the lifted hands, God, and I'm believing for healing, God. I'm believing for a healing touch, God. Lord, a miraculous healing touch, Lord, and those who need it, Lord. You know the sicknesses that are represented here today, God. You know, Lord God, the answers that are needed, Lord God. Lord Jesus, God, the direction that is needed, God. I pray, Lord, by those lifted hands, marriages that need, Lord God, restoration, God, Lord Jesus, help needed, wisdom needed in a hard job situation. God, I pray, Lord, the financial needs. You know the situations, minister. Those who are sick this morning, God, at home, Lord God, worshiping, Lord, I pray you touch them, touch Pastor Jessica, touch Sister Fiona, Lord God. Many more who are sick, Lord God, I pray. Lord Jesus, touch Pastor Roy as he continues to recover, Lord God, I pray let him, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, be fully, Lord, healed and up, Lord Jesus, God, worshiping with us and leading, Lord God, again, Lord Jesus, this church, Lord God, I pray anoint him and touch him, touch Sister Lois as well, God, minister, God, in our hearts and minds this morning, speak to us, Lord, speak to us this morning, anoint Pastor Jerry as he brings your word, God, Lord God, we thank you, God, you're so good, because there is no other name, let's worship him, there's no other name, Lord Jesus. But your name, God, that will bring salvation, that will bring healing, Lord God, that will bring deliverance, Lord God. And so we call on that name this morning in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all worship together this morning.
Oh, creation. Continue to worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just because the music stops doesn't mean our worship stops. It doesn't mean he's not great. It doesn't mean he doesn't heal. Jesus. We lift you up today, Jesus.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a gracious revelation in Jesus Christ.
Spirit of would lift up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. Defend us, Lord, defend us, Lord, lift up a standard, raise up the banner high. Defend us, Lord, defend us, Lord, lift up a standard, raise up the banner high. Defend us, Lord, defend us, Lord, lift up a standard, raise up the banner high. Defend us, Lord, defend us, Lord, lift up a standard, raise up the banner high.
The weapon forth against me, the weapon forth against me, the weapons of the enemy will prosper. The weapon forth against me, the weapon forth against me, the weapon of the enemy will prosper.
God wants
wants to do something if we'll just let him. So we're just going to play this chorus a couple more times. Just worship him, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, we're here this morning in your presence because you are awesome, because you are worthy. We don't deserve your love, God. We don't deserve your blessings. And yet you give freely. You willingly give to us because you love us. Jesus. Jesus. Let us step into that today, God. To the love that you have for us. Jesus, you're so awesome, God. You're so awesome, Jesus. Jesus. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Can we just sing that out? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sing our God. Is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. One more time, no music. Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above me. From power and love, our God is an
just with me for a few moments. Would you just lift up your voice of faith? We're just going to pray for the service, pray for those that are here, pray for the move of the Holy Ghost to be upon us. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Jesus, that everyone who's reaching out to you today, Lord Jesus, they would find you, God. You would find that you're present in their life, Lord Jesus. They would find you speaking to them, Lord, in every way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that those who don't necessarily understand the present circumstances, God, that they would find a way to put their faith in you today, Lord Jesus, to trust you, God, to trust your voice, to trust your leading, to trust your moving, God, in their life, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise today, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring your attention to Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. While you're turning there with me, you can remain standing. Brother Dennis, I am on the edge of losing my voice, and my ears are plugged. So I need a little bit of both. If you can help me out, appreciate you so much, sir. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1 says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one who feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius." "And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, What is this, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for me a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Just with me for a moment, we just lift the Lord up right now and just get your mind on Jesus right now. Put your faith in where you're at. Put your faith in your present circumstances. Put your faith with you in the pew today. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening, whatever you don't understand, we're going to give that to the Lord today. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. One of the strongest indicators in Scripture of how angels are not sent to preach the gospel is found in Acts chapter 10. Angels are awesome. Angels are powerful. Angels are scary. And they're certainly servants of an almighty God. Amen. Still, they do not have the Holy Ghost like we do. They are not filled with the Spirit of God like we are. And they don't need faith to serve God. They can see God as He is. Amen. Still, they do not, like us, have the Holy Ghost. They are not filled with the Spirit of God. They don't need faith. And so they serve out of obedience. And in this scripture, we find that at the opportunity that the angel had to preach the gospel to a believer, he did not take that moment of opportunity to do so. And in fact, there is no place in scripture ever that an angel preached the gospel to someone. He might have led them to the right path, gave them information that they needed to know to get to the right path. But all paths lead to a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't hear the gospel without a preacher. God has given the church a great commission to preach the gospel to every creature. He did not give that commission to angels. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12 says, "Some prophets told how God would treat you with undeserved grace." Are you thankful for undeserved grace in your life? Amen. "And they searched hard to find one more about the way that you would be saved." They searched very diligently looking for that. Sorry for the translation is minorly different. "The Spirit of Christ was in them." What Old Testament says, they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. "Was in them and telling them how Christ would suffer and would be given great honor." So they searched to find out exactly who Christ would be and when this would happen. "But they were told that they were serving you and not themselves." Scripture says that the Old Testament was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. They were serving us in the future. "They preached to you by the power of the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven, and their message was only for you, even though angels would like to know more about it." Amen. Angels would like to know more about the experience of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, the experience that we have in the Spirit of God. Amen. Angels would like to look into it. Galatians 1:8 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be called accursed." Amen. In other words, there's only one gospel. There's only one message. There's only one Acts 2:38. There's only one time that the faith was delivered to the saints of God. There's only one way into the kingdom of heaven, and that's through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's only one way. There's only one way. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have found the way? If you have today, would you say amen? Amen. In fact, today, many of our workers in the church have headed off to church plants. Some of our pastoral staff are sick or laid up with operations. And so we need some of the saints to fill in the gaps today. So would you just look at your neighbor and tell them today is the Amen Corner. Amen. Today, this is the Amen Corner, where you're at. Would you just gather up all your faith to give to God and let your place, your position, wherever you're at with God right now in the pew that you're in, let that be the Amen Corner today. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 7 says, Then when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Joppa was about 35 miles to the south. They were on the Mediterranean's western coast. Joppa was south of where Cornelius lived, or where he was at, stationed. He was a military man. And in 35 miles north of Joppa is where the city of Caesarea was, and that's where they abode, these people. And I want you to pay a little bit of attention. He sent a couple of servants, but he also sent with him a soldier, right? A soldier he sent along. So he made sure that the message got there. Amen. So when we look in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, it says, On the morrow, or the next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, which was Joppa, Peter went up upon the household to pray about the sixth hour. And most people believe that was about noon or lunchtime. Verse 10 says, And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heavens open, and a certain vessel descending upon him. And as it had been a great sheet knit at all four corners and let down to the earth from heaven to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, all of these different types of animals. And a Jewish mindset, the indication here is these were unclean animals, not fit to eat, not fit probably even to touch much. They weren't supposed to be intermingling with this type of possible food or fowl of the air, or unclean beasts, all of these wild beasts, beasts of the earth, four-footed beasts. These were ones that Jewish people were not, according to the Old Testament, supposed to eat. But the next scripture tells us, And there came a voice to him saying, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 14 says, And Peter said, No, Lord, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. What that means is don't call what God has made holy or sanctified or cleansed. Don't call those things that God has blessed as holy common. Very confusing for the typical Jewish mind to understand that God is speaking to him in a vision, a trance, a dream. He was obviously already hungry, so God used that to his advantage, trying to provoke Peter a little bit, maybe, to go ahead and kill and eat, to rise, kill, and eat. Say it with me. Rise, kill, and eat. Rise, kill, and eat. Now in verse 16 it says, This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. In his dream, in Peter's head, Peter did not rise, he did not kill, and he did not eat. Three times God tried to get him to act upon the heavenly voice, to rise, to kill, and to eat. And Peter said, No, Lord, that's not me. I'm not the one. I'm not that guy. I've never done anything of the sort. Confused, being a devout Jew as he was probably a little frustrated. Verse 17 says, Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, oftentimes whenever we doubt in ourselves, when God is speaking to us, when we doubt in ourselves, God sometimes has to come to us a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. And God will keep on doing this until his will is manifest in your life, but also in the lives of the people he's trying to get you to come in contact with. Amen. Verse number 15 is, I'll read it again. And the voice spake unto him a second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up unto heaven. In his dream, in Peter's head, he didn't do these things, as we just said. And 17 says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision was, or what it meant, he questioned himself. I'm not sure he was questioning God, because he could hear him loud and clear. There's a difference sometimes in questioning God and questioning ourselves when we come to a point in our faith where we're not willing to walk forward. You got to understand who this was. This was Peter. This was Apostle Peter. He had seen Jesus perform miracles on the streets. He had witnessed maybe thousands of healings. He was the Pentecost preacher. He was the one who saw thousands of people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was a preacher of preachers. He was the first one to introduce the gospel. He was someone who acted in faith. We know that just a few chapters before this, when Peter was at the gate beautiful, he looked down at the lame man and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. It wasn't a faith problem that Peter had, but he was struggling with faith because he could not be obedient to what God was speaking to him in his heart, in his mind, in his soul. The thing that God was calling him to do was not possible in the moment that he was asked to do it in Peter's mind. Now, we know that that's not always the case. A lot of the times God speaks and people are immediately obedient. Anybody ever been there where you just did the right thing at the right time? And you're like, man, that worked out awesome. But then there's those moments where it's 5, 10 years and God has been telling you to do this, write this book, to go preach this, do this, start the Bible study, all of these types of things. And every time you see the people that God is leading you to, you feel the unction of the Holy Ghost to move, but maybe you're not quite ready to let your faith be applied to yourself. You're okay with applying your faith toward God. I believe in God. I believe he can heal. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe that he's still healing people today. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But occasionally, the things that God is calling me to do, I have a struggle of faith with. Because I know me. Or I know my limitations. Or I know what tradition might say. Or what people might say. Or what, there's a lot of things going on in the background of Peter's mind. So we got to ask the question, why did God have to do it 3 times, Peter? I don't really know, but I might have brought the dream back 7 times personally if I was in the wrong situation and not understood exactly what God wanted me to do. Peter had a presumptuous idea of his ministry. You got to understand, Peter has seen thousands of people come to God. He's seen people listen to his sermon and do what he says and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost, repent, and start following after Christ. But up until this point, all of them were family members. All of them were Jews. All of them were related to him in some way, but definitely related to him through the faith that they all shared in Jehovah. This was a new thing that God was trying to do. Amen? So when we're trying to sort out the meanings of dreams, God sometimes is just looking for a response of faith, right? And so let's look at 3 things that we can do when God is speaking to us, but we don't necessarily know what it is that we should do. Oftentimes, the direction that God has placed in us is obvious, but we're fighting with it. The first thing he was supposed to do was rise to the occasion, amen? By faith, he was supposed to rise because God has intervened in his life, and in a trance, literally, he's speaking to him and he's telling him to rise, Peter. Rise up from where you're at and kill and eat. So we must kill some things in our life as well. You might, if you were at camp, you might recognize a couple of these, statements that were being made today. I wrote some things down from camp, but I got to be honest with you. When I showed up to camp on Monday, I was kind of questioning some things that God was telling me. He was telling me that I would be preaching today out of Acts chapter 10. He told me I was going to be talking about Cornelius. He told me all of these things. In fact, I had all my scriptures all in place on my phone. They were in my pocket. My sermon was in my pocket. But that morning on Tuesday, I woke up and I'm like, "What?" For whatever reason, I questioned God. Like, is this seriously what the people need to hear on Sunday? I don't typically do that, but that day I did. I feel like that in the moment, I was feeling not confident in what God was calling me to do today. And so then whenever I got to service that night, I raised my hands and worshiped with everybody, still feeling a little doubt in the back of my mind. And the preacher got up to the pulpit and he read all of Acts chapter 10, essentially, exactly the same scripture that I'm in. And I took it as a confirmation, but I asked him, I was like, you know, I had this exact sermon written, and he's like, God's trying to tell you something. And I believe he is. Even today, last night, I'm not feeling well, and I was feeling doubtful that I should even come up here and preach this, because of the feelings that I'm having of just being kind of sick. But then I realized there wasn't anybody to call today. Roy's in the bed with his foot up. Hey, Roy. Jess is at home in the bed, sick. Hey, Jess. Peter's on vacation. Hey, Peter. And Phil was speaking this morning in the morning service. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to do this by faith. In fact, a conflict happened, and just to give you an inside scoop on what was going on, I have a lot of sermons that are floating around in my head right now. I just finished a set of sermons on Romans at 238 Church in DeForest, and I'm moving into a series on Our God is One. So there's 8 sermons kind of floating around up there. And then I preached in the morning last Sunday. Preach today here, and then I'm going to DeForest later, and then Wednesday here again. I think that's about 15 sermons floating around in my brain, trying to put all these pieces together, and I said something under my breath that surprised me. In fact, God didn't even need to comment. I said, God, if I'm going to have to preach so much, I'm going to have to, I don't have enough time to study all this, I'm going to have to get up there by faith. Oh, whoops. Whoops. And so today I am up here by faith, and I'm trying to put my faith in preaching, in my preaching, which is a hard statement for me to make because I don't think I've ever made the connection. I put my faith in what God was speaking to me. I put my faith in what God was leading me to do. I put my faith in the Word of God for sure. And I study the Word of God, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But occasionally I'm ashamed of my abilities for some reason. I don't think that it's me or I'm the one or I should be or if I can or not or if I did or not. But today let me preach a little bit by faith, okay? And so Acts chapter 10 verse 18 says, and after all of these things happened, and called and asked where Simon was, which was surnamed Peter, where he lodged. And so these folks have already come to Peter's house. They're knocking on the door. Acts chapter 10, verse 19 says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. And so he was questioning himself and had not yet come to the conclusion that this is something he should do. But God was not looking for an alternative. He wasn't going to give him a break. And in fact, the people that he was about to be preaching to were standing at the door, knocking on his door. Not him knocking on their door, amen. And Acts chapter 10, verse 20 says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent thee. Amen. You know, everyone who has been filled with the Holy Ghost, spoken other tongues, it's not just for your salvation. It's to be a witness into the world that's around you. is for you to know what God is doing in the spirit realm. That God can speak to your spirit on the inside. If he has to, bring a prophet on the outside to get you positioned and in the right posture, in the right place to do the things that God has called you to do. And who are we to deny God? And even Peter denying him three times. You think he would get the point of denying Christ three times, but here we are again. Denying God again three times. So Peter, the witness of the resurrection and the street side miracle witness of Jesus' healings and teachings, the Pentecost preacher, the one who had enough faith to raise up the man at the gate beautiful and tell him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. He's now laid up nicely in Joppa. Joppa, I can imagine if I was Peter, I would have my threefold brochure looking at the awesome city of Joppa. The Mediterranean food, he could smell it in the air right where he's at. He's on the rooftop letting the Mediterranean wind, they're right on the beach, just blow through his hair. He's living the good life. He's on vacation. He's doing all that he has to do and not much more. He's preaching the word of God. He's reaching to his family and doing all of those things that God has called him to at this point. But now, in the middle of his comfort zone, literally his comfort place, literally on the rooftop of a Mediterranean house, ready for lunch, God calls him out of Joppa. Out of the comfort, out of the place where he's found refuge and peace, out of this area and into an unknown place. And not only that, but if you remember right, a few chapters back, it was Peter himself who was hauled into prison and was nearly executed, except for one of those angels came by and loosed him while he was asleep and yanked him out of the prison. And while the church was yet praying, he delivered them to the church, and praise God, he's still alive. Amen. But while he was in prison, I assure you, he got well acquainted with the soldier's uniform. He knew who the enemy was. He watched soldiers from the Roman government crucify Christ. He watched them slay John, the apostle. James the apostle. He watched them also haul himself into prison. There wasn't the kind of people that you want to engage with without a plan. And so when they showed up to his house, they did not look like the people he had been preaching to. In fact, they looked a lot like the enemy. They were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And not only were they Gentiles, one of them was a soldier. These were not the people that Peter thought he was called to preach to. These were not the ones that he was sent to save or to preach salvation to. And so we see that whenever Peter, I just think it's kind of funny because three guys show up at his door and knock on the door. He doesn't leave immediately. He waits for the next morning. But when they go, he gets six guys with him. And so maybe a little lack of faith there. Is if you're on the way somewhere with one of the Roman soldiers leading you, you want six guys instead of their three. It just, you got numbers. I don't know if they think that way, but I think he thought that way possibly. So I know what you're thinking. You've heard this a lot of times. Maybe you've heard it before 1,000 times. I don't think that Brother Grant Sr. Was slack on preaching this type of message about we are called to do these things. I know for sure Roy has been up here hundreds of times in the last 5 years. I've heard it hundreds and hundreds of times in the same setting that we are called to do these things. My message today is slightly different. I just want to read a little bit more of the storyline, and then I'm going to talk to you about what God has told me to tell you today. Acts chapter 10, verse 24 says, on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, and saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he had talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 29 says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, and as soon as I was sent, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. And send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, and whose surname is Peter. And we just heard this story. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. And though thou hast well done that thou art come, now therefore are we all present before God to hear the things that are commanded thee of God. And so Peter is looking at a centurion, and the title today is Centurion. He's looking eye to eye with the man who's in charge of 100 soldiers. And the man knows what Peter's supposed to do. And Peter's still struggling with what he's supposed to do. He's looking eye to eye to the person who, through a vision of God, God has positioned Peter and pulled him 35 miles from his comfortable place to be in front of the centurion. He's looking eye to eye to this man. And the man knows what Peter's supposed to do. And Peter seemingly is wavering still in his faith. He's kind of he's mansplaining essentially here. He's telling, well, I'm not really supposed to be talking to you. You know that, and I'm trying to do what God wants, and blah, 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 blah. And so Peter, at that moment, he's like, well, I don't really have a lot of options here. So he begins to preach. And it says in verse number 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but if in every nation that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him, that the word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, showing him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, and even to us who did eat and drink, and with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And to him gave the prophets witness, and through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The next verse says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Immediately, when he let the final words of the gospel out of his mouth, the Holy Ghost went with the faith of Peter and filled the people with the Holy Ghost right away. Let's all stand. This is what the Lord has sent me to say to you. I preached a little bit of a Bible study, but this is what I feel. It was confirmed today at 10:25 a.m. while Phil was speaking. I was feeling terrible. My voice was hurting. I stumbled into an elements class accidentally. I'm sorry, guys. To try to get some coffee out of the machine because my throat was hurting. And I backed out of there, looked around all over the church looking for something that was warm for my throat. And I felt like I needed to go to Quick Trip during service, because I did not feel 100% comfortable thinking my voice was going to crack when I got up here. And as I was standing there, I had some tea in my hand, hot tea. I need a drink. I stood there holding my tea and looking like garbage in a suit. And I set the tea down and I open up my wallet. And the guy across the counter looks at me. He said, "What's going on this morning?" I said, "I'm not really feeling that good, so I came in for some hot tea." And I try to keep it short and sweet. And he's like, "You a pastor here locally?" "Yes, sir. Over here at Calvary Gospel." "Oh, okay. Awesome. What are you speaking on today?" I looked at him and he said, "Are you speaking on the book of Acts?" I said, "Yes, sir, Acts chapter 10. He said, "That's a good chapter." So the thing I'm here to speak about to you, very similarly to Peter's moment that he had, you realize that the Gentiles, this was the first Gentile convert, by the way, if you didn't understand that. The Gentiles were not a part of the church yet, but the Old Testament was done. And the apostles had not yet come to the conclusion that the law was over. They were living halfway in old ways and halfway in new ways and trying to make sense of it all. Not really studying the words of their own sermons that God was giving them through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We can read this very succinctly in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power," which they were asking if God was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. It's not what he was going to do. It wasn't his plan. Had nothing to do with it. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria." That starts to get weird. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And up to this point, they had seen all of these things happen, but they had not seen a Gentile that was just a Gentile come to God. They were living in a moment in God's divine plan that seemingly was an overlap. An overlap from what was old to what was new. In their mind, it overlapped. But in God's timeline, it was a cold cut. But God did not enforce an overlap, and he did not enforce a cold cut. He let them figure it out by faith what God was doing. And he led them from Judea to Samaria, and then now to Gentiles. And Peter was forced to confront his lack of faith that God was going to preach the gospel to the entire world. Not only that, he would be the gateway into that happening. And so what I'm telling you today, this is what I know, and I struggle to say it's a prophecy, but maybe it is. I know the door is wide open in Madison. I know that's falling on some deaf ears because you've lived a lot of years for God. And you know this town. And you know those people. And you know what they do. You know what kind of people they are. And you know how they treated you. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost today, the door is open. We've been living in an overlap. God wants to save the city. God wants a 20,000 soul revival. God wants to use you. He doesn't want to beg you three times. He wants you to do the things that God has called you to do. We're living in an overlap in our mind. We have come to the dead end, though, of the overlap. Because if it's not us who bring the gospel to Madison, then who will it be? If God can send an angel to Cornelius to speak to him, to move upon him, I don't think an angel will preach to someone else in this city. But I believe there are people in the city like Cornelius, centurions everywhere around us who want to hear what God has for their life. They want to hear what you have to say. Like the man at the gas station, he even knew what scripture I was preaching out of today. We can either accept where we're at and move into the future, what God wants for Calvary Gospel Church, or we can fight against it and be the focal point of 14 chapters that Paul had to preach to throughout all of the rest of the epistles back to those Jews who wanted to keep it the old way. 14 chapters of the New Testament devoted to just people who didn't want to move forward. We can't afford 14 chapters in our lives to be preached to us to get us to move. And so I'm coming to you today. I'm asking you to go beyond cultural barriers, to go beyond religious barriers, to go beyond political barriers, to go beyond social barriers, to go beyond physical barriers, to go beyond your comfort zone, to go beyond your inconvenient opportunities that God is putting in your life, to go beyond the preferential pet peeves laden with prejudice, narcissism, self-righteousness, whatever it is that's stopping you. Maybe you just have a lazy spirit. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're prideful. Maybe it's complicated. A little of all of this. Arise, kill, and eat. He asked Peter to internalize the vision that God had for the Gentile nation. Maybe today you're like, what? I've never heard anything like this. Maybe today there's a centurion in the room that God is moving on your life and directing you, and somehow you landed in this church today and you never heard the gospel preached in such a way. In fact, you're maybe like the centurion, you were devout in all your ways and you prayed to God, but you followed something that someone else told you, the old way of the Jews, not knowing that there's something for you here today, that the price has already been paid and God wants to save you in a way that you have not even thought about and use you in a way that only God can do. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost today and make you a witness as well. Amen. So today, we're 5 after 12. I'm asking you, if you're tired of kicking against the pricks, so to speak, or you're tired of denying God 3 times, 4 times, 5 times of what God wants to do, you are the one. You're the one. You're the witness in your community. You're the witness at your job. You're the witness in your school. You're the witness on your street. We are the light of the world, not the light of the church. Amen? We're supposed to be out there shining. Amen? Amen? And so today I ask you, if you need to repent, why don't you just let God speak for a few moments into your life and not say, not so, Lord, not so. This altar is open. If you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and you haven't ever had that happen, would you just come on down over here and just raise your hand and look up at me, and I'll have some people come and help you with that. But for the rest of the church who knows that this, we're tired of living in the gap. You're trying to carry what used to be you into your future, and you can't do that. Certain things have to die. Arise, kill, and eat. Let's take a bite out of the vision that God has for us in the future here and do what God has called us to do. Amen. You may come on down, or if you want, just come down and pray. If you need to receive the Holy Ghost, we'll pray with you. God bless you. Would you worship with us for a few moments?
Let's have a meal. Let me reveal who I am. I'm your Savior, and I will wash all the sin from your soul. I'm your servant, and I am all you need.
I just want to tell you a couple of things, obviously, to remind you of the things that God is doing. God blessed Janesville with an entire church for chicken scratch money. It was so cheap. God gave us a building in Waterloo on a silver platter. Every single school we've called, open arms, come have church. No problems. I prayed to God that I needed more signage in the city. Gave me a sign for a little bit of money. I didn't like it. I wanted more. And within 5 minutes, God gave me a sign in front of the A&W root beer place, random. Just boom. It's already up. It's ready to go. This is why I'm saying the door is already open. The door's already open. It's us. The problem is us. This world has polarized people into groups. Politics has polarized people into believers or non-believers. They have to make that clear now if they believe in God, because there's no gray anymore. There's no gray Christian. You just are either die hard for God or you're just not in it at all. But they're hungry because the things the world is giving them is not satisfying. It's not feeding them. It's not giving them anything. They're looking for God. They're praying. Memorials are being built in heaven in Madison by people who believe in God but have not yet heard the gospel. And so I'm saying to you today, stop saying not so. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. I don't want to preach these messages anymore. I want to just preach Acts 2:38, man. Amen. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to move forward. I want to move forward. I know God has opened this door. It's open. We're in the end times. The end time revival is on us. And if we don't do what God has called us to do, amen. Amen. At this time, we're just going to pray in dismissal. God, I ask you to touch every single saint here today, Lord Jesus, all those who are seeking your presence in their life, seeking to be obedient to your spirit. God, help us to be shaken in our faith, Lord God. The faith we're comfortable with is no longer of value. Give us a new direction, Lord, a new goal, a new challenge, Lord. A new open door, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be obedient to that spirit. In your name we pray. We'll see you guys all on Wednesday night. Don't forget, this is prayer and fasting coming up very soon. If this is something that stirred your heart, why don't you just seek God for faith in this area of your life? And we'll see you also at corporate prayer next Friday, I believe. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.